Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hey, lady listeners.
Welcome.
Hey.
It's Welcome Friday. Welcome to the conclusion.
Yeah. It's Friday. That's the most important thing.
Fuck yeah, it is.
The end of season, the first week of season 3. We made it.
I can't believe it. I hope everybody loves this story, too, because we wrote it so long ago. I don't remember any of it. I'll be honest.
I remember we painted ourselves into a corner when we wrote it, though.
We were like, shit, now we have to do this and this and this, because we can't do this and this. Because we were like, damn it, it's already out. And like, you know, because we were writing Pretty Virgin that goes along with this story, so we wrote that much after we wrote Virgin Roommate. So I mean, just a little sidebar, we write a lot of books, so it's easy for us to get confused. This made it way more easy for us to get confused. Like, why did we fuck ourselves like this? Damn it. I think I talked about it a few weeks ago too, when I said it's not that I didn't like this book, I love it, and I love the book that we wrote with it, Pretty Virgin. I love both of them, but there was such an expectation after writing Virgin Husband and Virgin Wife and for people to love this book. So I just really hope they do.
I think what happens a lot of times too is everybody is always asking us, we try not to name people now because they want the side character, but we've given away a lot of the story.
We try not to name people.
Yeah.
So like, where's the book from Trash Guy number 3? Like,
yeah.
Where's
the
story?
So no, we'll purposely make sure we don't say the name. So then you can't ask us about it because you're like, the assistant. We're like, who?
Who? I don't know what you're talking about. And we pretend to be dumb.
My favorite quote from this book is, "You can come when you give me a wedding date."
I said, of course. I love that one. I thought it was really sweet too.
Really sweet. And I love the part when they're all fighting and they're all like fighting. Well, the characters show up from the Virgin and Husband in the living room, and Jason's there and he's fighting with Marco. And then I remember your guys' characters' names, even if you don't.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad somebody does.
He goes to her, he goes to Gia, he goes, "Go wait in bed." And I was thinking, he's like, "Go wait in bed. Like, you don't have to deal with this. Go wait in our bed. I'll be there in a few minutes to fuck you." And his brother, the brother is like standing right there.
And can you imagine in real life? Oh my God.
No, I can't. And that's what it got me thinking.
Side punch to the brother. It's like, "Go, I got this, babe. I'm going to fuck you in a minute. Let the brother know where they stand."
No, he like fucked her after the brother showed up. He was like, "Well, they're here, but let me get in one more fuck and then I'll go deal with this."
Yep. Exactly.
Which is, I mean, if not realistic. But,
well, that's what Alexa Riley prides themselves on.
Delusions, right?
It's real, real life, concrete things that can happen.
But I started thinking about in real life, like, just the quotes that you see, like the book quotes you see on Instagram from authors. Like, one I saw this morning was like, called her Little Thing and all the, and I was like, if I love that in a book, but if someone called me Little Thing in real life, I'd be like, "What the fuck did you just call me?" Like, I would just slap
you. Look
somebody.
So offended. Your face is so offended right now. You're like, "What did you just call me?"
You can't say something like that without being, but I do think that there's things that people can get away with in books that, like, and it kind of is like what Annabelle Joseph, did you guys see her video this week? Annabelle Joseph is an author who does these really funny Facebook videos. And she just talks about like reality versus fantasy and how like she saw people on Twitter, like, you know, just getting upset over the fact that like this BDSM book was like, kind of came off abusive and they didn't follow the rules and they didn't talk about the rules. And she was just like, there's a difference between, she's like, it happened in a book. Like, do any of you realize that it's happening in a book? Like, it is okay for you to have fantasies. It's not real.
Yeah. You know? And I think another thing is a lot of reasons why BDSM authors are skipping over the rules is because we know them and we don't want to hear them for the fifth time. I don't want to be explained red, yellow, green. anymore.
Yeah.
We all know it.
Yeah, or like when Sierra Simone was on the podcast and she did American Squire, like she just like skipped over that part in the sense that like the next morning she just said, and last night he came to my room and we discussed rules. Boom.
Yeah.
And like, at least then you're okay. You understand they're on the same page. Like, you don't need to be on their page. You know, like they are on the same page. And anyways, I just... If you don't follow like Annabelle Joseph on Facebook, she puts a video out every week and they're really funny. And she just kind of, I don't know, like she just kind of thumbs her nose at the haters, which is, it's nice.
I like that. I'm going to appreciate that.
You will. I posted it in the, in the headquarters group. So you'll see that.
Oh, I can't remember if somebody posted this picture or not in the Read Me Romance headquarters group, but I wanted to say it was, I can't remember if I saw it on there, the Southern catchphrase. This is, what's your Southern catchphrase? Did you guys see that? I think somebody might have tweeted it to us. What you do is you take the first letter of your first name, the first letter of the middle name, your birth month, and then the first letter of your last name. So it's your first, middle, birth month, last name. So, but it's your Southern catchphrase. And they're so stupid, but I wanted to do them on here to see what it was. All right. So Tessa, tell me what the first letter of your first name is T. Mm-hmm. So squeeze.
Okay.
It says, all right, the first letter of your middle name, Tessa A. Bailey, nipple. So what's your birth month?
February.
February is make me. And then the first letter of your last name, Bailey, B, biscuits. So then you add all these like Southern sayings to it. And it says, all right, so, well, squeeze. Oh, my God. Well, squeeze my nipple. And what was your birthday? May?
February,
sorry. Well, squeeze my nipple and make me biscuits. So that's your Southern phrase.
Well, squeeze my nipple and make me biscuits.
I know. I don't know why. Like, I just love these. This was terrible. I'll post it in the headquarters group. It's really funny. All right. So, Mel, yours is, let's see, M is rub, and G is your middle name, initial, urethra. Oh, my God. Urethra. That's so specific. Your birthday is September.
August.
Sorry. That's right. You get the kids to go back to school. All right. So, fry me up. And then the last letter of your last name is K. Where's that? Oh, my God. Hemorrhoid. Yours is terrible. All right. It says, well, rub my urethra and fry me up hemorrhoids. What? So stupid. And why am I laughing?
That's so funny, because actually the other day me and my husband were talking about something and I said my phobia was buttholes. And now it's all about buttholes.
I'm not surprised by this. You won't even stick something up your own ass. All right. Mine is, let's see. Well, jiggle my dick and give me, oh God, give me bitch. Give me a bitch. Wiggle my dick and give me a bitch. What the fuck? I'm gonna have to post this up. I just thought that was one of like the dumbest ones I'd ever seen, and I just thought it'd be funny. Okay, continue
funny.
About your podcast, people.
Well, since it's roommate week, I have a roommate would you rather. You guys want to do it?
Yes, let's do it.
Would you rather live with a professional wrestler who stomps everywhere and has excessive body odor, or would you rather live with a really sweet girl your age, but her room is full of life-size dolls?
Oh, God.
A girl my age with life-size dolls.
Okay. And one of them looks like you.
I don't. It's fine.
No.
I can't do body odor. I cannot do body odor.
I don't know if I could do body odor. Yeah, if I could deadbolt the door, then maybe I'd take the girl. Oh, my God. Tessa, what would you take? Would you take the body odor?
No, I'd go with the wrestler, because that's built-in protection. I could, like...
It's gonna protect my nose.
No, everything would smell.
And then what if you started to smell like it? Like, it's just on your
clothes. You'd get used to it. You would get used to it after.
But other people, then you'd go somewhere and people are like, you smell. And you're like, it's not me, it's my roommate. And they're like, sure.
Wait. Okay. Here's the next one.
What does she do with the life-size doll that looks like me?
You don't know. That's the thing. They have their own room.
I can assume.
Okay. Would you rather live with someone who occasionally forgets to put their pet snake back in its cage, or someone who constantly eats your leftover cake from the fridge without asking.
Fuck you.
Eat my leftover cake.
You went with the left, eating the leftover cake. Mel, like, jumped back from her microphone when Tessa said snake. She was like, whoa.
I'm not scared of snakes. From it. I'm scared of surprises. So, like, if there's a snake and I know it's there coming, I can pick it up or whatever, because there's snakes around here. But I don't like when things come at me from, I don't know what's coming. So that would bother me.
You found a snake in your house. Do you remember? In the hallway? And like she was, put... Then you.
Yeah, it was the size... They made fun of me. It was the size of a string. So I put a bucket over it.
Yeah.
To keep it there.
It was in her house on the carpet. She's like, I went to pick up a string and it moved.
And I was like, oh, and it scares me. I don't like when something surprises me. I'm like...
Well, garden snakes are small. And they say those are like deadly, right? The garden snakes, they're like, you know, they're pretty tiny. And those can kill you, no? People are people that actually know these things are just shaking their heads.
They're
at
screaming, right?
Sorry, city girl.
I would take the leftover cake, girl. Eat my leftover cake.
Yeah,
I'd
take
please.
The leftover cake.
You need
the
to
snake
eat
is
it.
Just that's a no go for me on snakes. That's okay. A hard limit. Which one would you have?
What?
Wait,
oh,
which one would you do?
Leftover cake. Yeah, same for sure. Would you rather live with an opera singer who practices at all hours or someone who buys industrial-sized containers of Vaseline every week and won't tell you why?
Opera singer. I used to, like, the guy I used to date lived next door to a woman who did that, and it was lovely. Like, on Sundays, you would hear her, she sang in the church, and you would hear her singing and stuff. She sang professionally, and she had the most beautiful voice. I remember, like, just laying in bed being like, oh, that's really nice. She's up and singing. Yeah,
there was
I like that.
There's this brownstone I used to walk past on the way to the subway, and there was always piano lessons happening inside, like, but advanced piano lessons. And it was just beautiful. It would, like, fill the whole street.
Oh, I love that.
So nice. Yeah, I miss
that. That's such a New York thing. Oh, my God. That's so New York.
Yeah, I miss that. Mel, what's your pick? Opera singer or someone who buys an industrial-sized Vaseline and won't tell you
neither
why?
Neither bother me.
It wouldn't bother you?
I don't care.
Clog up your pipes.
I don't know what, if I don't know what they're doing with the Vaseline, that means it's not in my way and it's not on and everything. So what do I give a shit? And an opera singer, I can drown out almost any sound.
Yeah.
I can work in the middle of Times Square.
Oh, God. Tessa, which one would you take?
I'd probably go with Vaseline person. I need silence.
Oh, no.
But I reserve the right to change my answer once I find out what they're doing with it.
Answer. She would find out. That's the problem, is Tessa could not know. She'd have to, like, research this.
That's why that was such a difficult question for me. And, like, because I'm like, if you don't know something, that seems to me like the worst thing, like, not knowing. Okay, so would you rather live with someone who compulsively spoils every TV show or movie ending for you, or someone who laughs when they masturbate loud enough for you to hear it through the walls?
Spoiler.
Well, no. Like, as someone who laughs when they masturbate, that would definitely... I'd be okay with that.
Do you really?
Yeah. Do you know, have you ever done that? Like, where you have an orgasm and you laugh? Like,
I get
it's, like,
sensitive
really hard?
It tickles.
Never.
Oh, that's when it's really good.
That doesn't happen, like, to you guys?
What?
When you come, it's not ticklish?
I don't know if it...
It's, like, so sensitive it tickles?
Maybe. I feel like I'm just so overwhelmed with emotions, I just laugh. Like, the sometimes, like, you know, like, I've had an orgasm before where I, like, I've cried. You know, it's been really, like, emotional, or it's been really hard, like, or you know, like, it's a very forceful orgasm in that way. But, like, I've done it where I've laughed. Yeah, that's when I know it's good, when I'm just like, holy shit, and I just start laughing.
Okay, so would you rather... Okay, a TV show spoiler or living with Leah, I guess. No, I've never... Maybe I'm not doing it right, or maybe I'm not using the right devices. You'll have to
She's
tell
like,
me.
I'm thinking of some really fucked up shit. I'm already masturbating. I can't laugh to it.
No, right? That's true. That's probably 100% true.
Okay, so here's the final one. Would you rather live with a single Chris Hemsworth or your best friend?
My best friend.
My best friend.
Aww,
what
cute.
Do you say? You'd say Hemsworth or friend? Hemsworth is like, he's beautiful. Do you know the amount of women that you're going to have problems with that are going to stalk him? try to break into your house. Like, just because you live with him doesn't mean you get to fuck him. And I don't know if I'd want to. His torso turns me off in so many ways. It's too big. He's too long. I don't know. Like, have you ever looked at him? It's weird. It's
yes,
like,
I have.
Like he's not proportional. I don't understand his body. It does nothing for me.
I think the question is just completely ridiculous because he loves his wife and he's not going to be single. So just sit down.
He does love his wife.
That's a nice thought.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. Since it's your week, I have a couple. Oh, wait. Father's Day is coming up very soon. So
oh, shit.
One of my questions for you guys.
What does that have to do with me?
You'll find out.
Everything. Ask your dad.
My question is there a story that your dad tells about you over and over and over again to anybody who will listen? Like, is there a story that he always breaks out about you?
I think
like embarrassing or just what he always says?
Just there's that story that he always tells.
And there's one he always says, something he always says. He always says, the one time I missed Thanksgiving.
Mel didn't go to Thanksgiving dinner one time, and he's never let her forget it.
And then there's an embarrassing story he tells about me all the time.
What is it?
Wait, listen, and here he is on the podcast, guys. What if her dad? You know what
here
you should
he
do?
Comes
you
should, now.
Shit, I know. You should have called your dad and made him tell the story. Get him on the phone.
Before, we have a hunting house now, a cabin up north. We're hunters or whatever. And I don't hunt anymore, but the kids all hunt. You had to go hunting when you were little. My dad had girls, so even the girls went hunting, starting at like 7 or 8, even if you weren't shooting, you had to go and sit in the stands and be a part of the hunting. Well, we hunted back then, we had trailers and they sat in the middle of people's farms and there would be like cows outside and they would scare me because they'd brush up against the sides of the trailers, right? And it would like shake the whole trailer. The trailers are so small, you would heat it with like the oven. That was the furnace. And it's the middle of winter, you're hunting. And there was an outhouse. That's how you had to use the bathroom. And one morning, I didn't want to go out to the outhouse because I was scared. So I went shit right outside the door of the cabin or the trailer.
Oh, wow.
And then they made me go out there. And he tells the story about how they made me go out there and clean up my own poop. And I was flicking it across the field with a stick or something. I don't even remember it. But he tells the story all the time.
I hope not at Thanksgiving dinner.
I know. Oh, that's actually kind of cute though. How old were you? I picture you being like 5.
I was probably 7, 8. I don't
that's
know.
Funny. Yeah, that's funny for a little kid to have to like use a stick to scoot their poop out to the outhouse. That's pretty good. What about you, Tessa?
I want to hear yours first. You tell me yours.
Oh, all right, I don't know.
I'm still thinking of it. Okay,
I'm still trying to think.
My dad always tells this story about when I was like, I think I was like 5 or 6 years old and I had an ear infection. I was laying in bed and he came upstairs and he was like, oh, I wish, you know, he said, oh God, please take away the pain and give it to daddy, you know? And then he pretended like he had the pain. He was like, oh, ow, ow, you know? And I go, oh yeah. no, God, take away the pain and give it to mom.
oh, that's pretty good.
My dad was really cool. He like, one time I got suspended from school and he picked
for what?
Me. Oh my God, it was so dumb. I passed a note that had like profanity in it, but it was a Catholic school and they took it seriously.
Yeah.
He told me to get dressed in my school uniform like I was going to school and he just took me, like we hung out all day. We went to lunch. I went to work with him.
Aw. No
awesome.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's fucking badass. That's cool.
It's kind of like you have a little secret.
I know. I like
no,
that.
We told my mom like 10 years later. She was she still doesn't think it's funny. Like, I'm like, come on. It's been like
that's
25
awesome.
Years.
Yeah. Like, I think
my favorite secret my mom always had us do was always round down, sweetheart. Always round down. When dad asked how much something cost, you round down.
Always
round down.
Yeah, I like that one too. Mel taught me that. She was like, no. This is like 28% less than what you paid for it, okay? I just reminded recently, so I've been looking at getting a new car. I've had the same car for ever. It's a 2007 Toyota Matrix, and it's awesome, and it gets great gas mileage. It's getting up closer to 200,000 miles on it, so it's time to get a new car. And so I've been looking at new ones and test driving stuff, and my dad was telling me he drives a Tahoe, and he was like, well, you know, I was looking at more Toyotas, and so he was like, well, why don't you get a Tahoe? And I was like, I just don't trust them. Like, I don't know. Like, the Chevy, I worry they're going to break down. You know, they're not reliable. I'm on the phone, and I'm telling him this, and I'm walking out to my car, and the motherfucker doesn't start. My car does not start. And my dad just started cackling on the phone. And I was like, he's like, yeah, that Toyota's real reliable. Like, just giving me so much shit. And just, I'm like, I'm calling you back. And I hang up. And the next day, he just called me back, like, just giving me shit about it. It was just really funny. He loves to do that, like, to poke fun, but...
That's how my dad is.
Oh, yeah. It was, I was like, I hope you go tell all your boys at the club, because it was men's golf night that night. Men's night. And I was like, I hope you tell all of them how funny this was. He was like, oh, I am.
So I think that's it. We're going to go ahead and play the final installment, and we'll catch up with you guys on the other side.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
Chapter 9. Gia. I don't like waking up without you in our bed. Marco walks over to me and glances at the books surrounding me. His sweatpants hang low on his hips, and I can tell why he's upset I wasn't there. The hard outline of his cock is on full display. My eyes travel up to his chest, and I see him smiling down at me. He realizes what I'm doing. I pulled the books out the other day from the box I'd kept them hidden in since high school. To be fair, we already got up this morning. You just happened to go back to sleep, I remind him. He woke me up with breakfast in bed, followed by multiple orgasms. I'd gotten to sleep in, but Marco, like most mornings, had gone for a run. He went back to sleep, holding me close in his arms after we ate and made love. I slipped out to get the books to take with me to my family dinner today. I'm ready to start the wedding planning, and I know my mom will be in full-on mother-of-the-bride mode. It will be best to have these with me when we show up, since she did help me make them when I was younger. Maybe I want to do it again. He lifts me from the chair I'm perched in and places me on the giant dining room table. He steps between my thighs and makes the small nightie I'm wearing ride all the way up. It shows I put nothing on under it when I grabbed it off the floor. Nothing is stopping you now. My hands travel down his broad chest, and one slips into his sweatpants to wrap around his cock. I stroke him, and he groans as his thick length throbs in my palm. Get it out, he demands, and I do what he says. I pull him free and push his sweatpants down with my other hand. I barely have him out, and he's pushing inside of me. I moan out his name as he rips the silk from my body because he wants me naked. If it was up to him, he'd burn all my clothes. But then I'd have nothing to wear when I left the house. I fall back onto the table and look up at him as he thrusts in and out of me. My orgasm comes down hard as I watch his body flex. His grip on my hips is firm, holding me in place and taking what he wants. I come undone, knowing that I will always be the only thing he needs. I cry out and come at the pleasure of all of it. Not only the orgasm, but knowing he's mine, too. My pussy clenches around him as he grunts out his own release and fills me. Gia. He shifts and lifts me onto him. I press my lips to his, and it's soft and sweet as he pulls me into his lap and sits down in the chair. I'm sorry. You don't seem sorry about anything, I laugh, and the feeling of his beard tickles me. Your books. He places another kiss on my bare shoulder, and I look over to see my scrapbooks are a mess. One fell to the floor, but they're all fixable. Worth it. I turn to look back at him, and I dig my hands into his short hair. we going to talk about this yet? His hand goes to my stomach, and I shrug. As in, we need a new place, I suggest. I enjoy giving him a hard time about his condo. It isn't a bachelor pad, as I teased before, and my things have made it feel warmer and more inviting. You can tell he only used the place to sleep and shower at best before I was here. It isn't a family home, or at least not what I thought of when I thought of us having kids. You focus on this wedding, and I'll focus on our forever home, he tells me before giving me a kiss and lifting me. He carries me through the house, and I keep my legs wrapped around him as he goes. How do you know about my forever home? I ask him, and my mind goes to the box where I pulled out the wedding scrapbooks. Now that I think on it, I didn't see the one I made about dream homes. That sneak, he probably went in and took it, but I'm not shocked. My tastes have changed, I rush to tell him because I can't remember what I put in the scrapbook. Some of the things in the weddings ones are fine, but some aren't great. Some are so terrible I snapped pictures and sent them to Caroline so she could laugh with me. He chuckles as he flips on the shower and puts me inside before taking off his sweatpants. I'm still finding the perfect spot to put it. I know you want to raise our babies in the same house we retire in. I love the idea of our kids always having their bedrooms in our home, and that one day even our grandbabies will be there too. The home will be filled with so many memories, and it will be perfect. Maybe I can talk Mom into rotating Sunday dinners from our house to theirs. I have all these ideas in my head of things I want to do, and this only makes it clearer to me what I want from my life. I'm not going to waste it doing something because I think it's what I should want to do. I'm not going back to school when this semester is over, I tell Marco as he steps into the shower. He nods. He already knows this. And I sigh as he washes my hair. I wash him next, and enjoy that we have our own routine now. People are always so shocked when they ask how long we've been together, and I tell them the answer. With the way we are together, you'd think we've always been with each other. All too soon, we're in the car on the way to my parents' house, and I've got the scrapbooks in my lap. I fixed them enough so that no one will be able to tell we practically had sex on them. At least, I hope not.
Are you going to tell them about the baby? Marco asks.
I haven't taken a test, but I know I'm pregnant. You think Jason will be there? I fiddle with the scrapbooks as we pull up to my parents' house. I want everyone there when I tell them, and I'm still sad he missed our engagement. What if he doesn't come to the wedding?
Yes.
My eyes snap to Marco, who's smiling at me. You fixed it, I say, and he nods. He wouldn't lie to me, and if he's telling me my brother is going to be here today, then he'll be here.
I did. You know I'll do anything for you.
I let the scrapbooks fall to the floorboard as I unclip my seatbelt and crawl into his lap. I pepper him with kisses all over his face because I know he'd do anything for me. I love this man so damn much.
Gia,
he growls when I start to kiss his mouth and it becomes heated.
I just got your brothers to like me. Fucking you in front of your parents' house isn't the best idea.
I laugh and give him one last kiss before getting off his lap. He hops out of the car and comes around to open my door. I grab my scrapbooks and we go inside, and I smile when I see my brother Jason standing there. He's not looking my way as I get closer to him, and I turn around to see he's got his eyes locked on my youngest brother behind me. My younger brother is walking up with a girl who looks to be about my age. Jason looks at her the way Marco looks at me, and my stomach drops. Jason's eyes turn deadly as he glares behind me.
Looks like today's drama isn't going to be about you,
I whisper loudly to Marco. I hold my scrapbooks closer to my chest. Because I know what's coming, and they already took a pounding today. All hell breaks loose when Jason goes for my youngest brother, and I smile as Marco jumps in. I guess that means Marco is one of us now.
Epilogue. Marco. 6 months later. I can tell her feet ache, and I pull her to my side to relieve some of the pain. We greet our guests as they come in and make the announcement that dinner will be served shortly. It's our wedding day, and I can't think of anything more perfect. My bride is the most beautiful woman in the world, and today is everything she's ever dreamed of. Not only that, but she's beginning to show, and I love seeing her grow with our baby. We've been waiting on the moment her belly would start to stick out, but she's having one of the rare pregnancies where the baby is growing like normal, but it's taken her forever to get a belly. Our friends Caroline and Savannah are showing like crazy already, but it wasn't until about 2 weeks ago that she really started to round out. Gia had to have her dress let out 3 times before today, and I was secretly happy each time. "Are you tired?" I whisper to her as a group of her cousins pass us. "I'm too excited to be tired." She looks up at me, and her eyes are so big and bright. She's like a kid at Disney right now, and I can't say I blame her. She had stacks of photo albums she'd created since she was a little girl about the wedding of her dreams, and it may have taken a while, but she finally got to live them out. We're ushered over to the head table where we take our seats in front of everyone. The wedding, which started as small and intimate, has turned into a celebration with everyone we've ever met. I didn't care who she asked to come, as long as she was going to be walking to me and saying yes. I've never seen her so drunk on power before, and it was kind of adorable. It makes me want to have another wedding all over again just to see her like this. "Eat," I say as I push a plate of food towards her and she takes it from me. "I'm starving," she says as I grab my fork and start feeding her. "You didn't eat today?" I ask, irritated. "I had food delivered every hour, especially." "Have I told you how much I love you?" she says as she laughs and leans forward to kiss me. "I got all the food and snacks you sent. It's just been a long day and I'm hungry again." "I'll have them bring you another plate," I say, flagging down the wedding coordinator. "Marco," she hisses, but doesn't stop me when I ask for seconds to be brought over. "I won't have my baby going hungry," I say, as I rest my hand on her belly. She looks at me and bites her lip, and I can see she's hungry for more than food. She wanted to stay in separate houses last night, but I couldn't do it. I ended up sneaking into her parents' house and into bed with her late last night, and had to leave early this morning so I wouldn't get caught. "I didn't get enough time with you last night," I say in a low voice. Suddenly, someone comes over the microphone, and I remember we're in a room full of people. All I want to do is get her out of here and take her to bed, but I have to remind myself that this is her night, too. One of her aunts is going on about how clumsy she was as a toddler, and how Gia sang karaoke at their lake house when she was 10. I'm sure they're all great stories, but I don't hear a word of it because Gia's hand has begun to move up my thigh and onto my cock. Her fingers softly and slowly brush over my hard length. She's teasing me under the table in a room full of people when she knows I can't carry her out of here. "Oh, look," she says excitedly as she squeezes me harder. "Jason is here with his girl." "You're playing with fire," I say, grabbing her wrist to still her motions. "Just trying to enjoy the moment," she says and winks at me. That's the same thing I told her this morning when I was between her legs. If she wanted me on edge, she's doing a great job of getting me there. "You keep teasing me, and you're going to end up in a coat closet with that wedding dress trussed up." Her cheeks flush, and she looks down at my lap, and I see her tongue run along her lips. "Would that be so bad?" I'm holding her hand, but her fingers still manage to move, and instead of pulling it away, I press it harder against me. "It's your wedding day, so you tell me." I stand up and pull her in front of me to hide my hard cock. "You want to consummate this marriage while 300 of your closest friends and family wait on us to cut the cake?"
"They won't even know we're gone."
She smiles up at me in challenge, and I wrap my arms around her waist. "Oh, they'll know. I pick her up and carry her out of the room with a few people shouting from behind us. I just don't give a fuck. Have I told you I love you? She says with a laugh. Yeah, but I'll never get tired of hearing it. We're late to cutting the cake, tossing the bouquet, and the first dances. But what the bride wants, the bride gets. And she gets it over and over tonight.
Epilogue. Gia. 5 years later. Crap, I whisper too loudly when my phone starts to ring in my hand. I thought I'd put it on silent, but I must have forgotten. I was using it for a flashlight until Caroline's name came across the screen. I called her a few hours ago, but she was busy. Busy doing her husband, from what it sounded like, before the line went dead. I knew not to call back. She'd call when she got a moment, and I know the feeling. We both have houses full of kids running underfoot. When you have a stolen moment with your husband, you take it. I would have called Savannah when I had my suspicions something was going on, but she would have told me to slice Marco's tires or something crazy. Caroline's the level-headed one of the three of us. I'm the one who overthinks everything and can draw the wrong conclusion too fast. Savannah is ride or die, and she'd be down to set everything on fire and then ask me if I was sure we should have done it. Caroline would burn it with us, after she made sure it was something we should be burning in the first place. The three of us work well together, if you ask us, and not our husbands. What's cooking? She asks when I answer the phone. I bet her husband is doing the same as mine right now and putting our babies to bed. I bet she's waiting for him and took the free moment to call me. I should be doing the same, but instead I'm sneaking around in the dark. Marco is cheating on me, I whisper into the phone. But Caroline just bursts into uncontrollable laughter. When I say the words out loud, it sounds ridiculous. Even to me. Stop laughing so loud. He'll hear you. I whisper yell at her, but she only laughs harder and I roll my eyes. Ouch. I muffle my cry as I stub my toe. I wiggle it to make sure it's still in working order. I blame the desk that's been in the same spot for years and not my feet being swollen. My feet always do this when I'm pregnant. What are you doing over there? She asks. Looking for evidence. What else would I be doing? I stop shuffling through his desk drawer to answer her. Aren't you supposed to check their phones or computer search history? Carolyn offers, and I glance at his computer. He's not cheating. He's up to something. We didn't have sex this morning, I tell her. He turned you down? I hear the skepticism in her tone. Well, no, I admit. I slept in and he was gone when I woke up. This time she's nice enough to try and hide her laugh. Yesterday he was on the phone and when I walked in, he got off really fast, I add, but she's not buying what I'm selling. Her hidden laughter says it all. It's probably the secretary. I mumble as I move his computer mouse to wake the screen up. He doesn't have a secretary, Caroline says dryly. I know. The only person I could come up with that he would cheat on me with was a fake person. Whose side are you on? You know you're being crazy, right? She asks, ignoring my question. The lights in the room flick on and I stand wide-eyed staring at Marco. Who's in his sleep pants and no shirt. I thought I had more time since he was putting the kids to bed. Of course, this time they went down in seconds. Gotta go. I end the call. But not before I hear her laugh around the word, busted. I am, and now he knows I'm up to something.
Babe, why are you in here in the dark?
He clears the distance between us quickly. Too quickly for me to come up with a reason.
I know everything,
I whisper yell, trying to be quiet and not wake up the kids. He shakes his head at me with a smirk. You're not going to find out what I'm doing by snooping through my desk.
So you admit it.
I point my finger at him and he grabs it and bites the end before kissing it. I narrow my eyes at him. I know you've made up some reason to go searching in my office, hoping to find out what I've been planning.
Am not,
I deny, but my shoulders drop. I always have the craziest pregnancy hormones.
You're planning something?
5 years of being married to you. Yeah, I'm planning something. He reaches out and tucks my hair behind my ear. Oh. I feel silly now, but he should know I'm crazy when I'm pregnant.
What are you planning?
I peek up at him, trying to bat my lashes and hoping he'll forget I was sneaking around.
All this time together, and you don't know how to get something from me.
He lifts me onto his desk.
You owe me, Gia. You passed out after I ate that sweet pussy this morning.
Oh, yeah. That's why we didn't have morning sex. I'm not just hormonal when I'm pregnant. I'm super forgetful, too.
Let's try this again. I'll make sure you don't pass out this time.
He pulls my panties down my legs and throws them to the floor.
Let me remind you that you're the only one for me.
He kisses my center as he looks into my eyes.
Even when you're acting a little crazy.
I smile at my husband and love that even when I'm nuts, he can't get enough. If someone asked him about this, he'd probably call it adorable. He's a good man. And I know he'll only ever let me have a happily ever after.
And
welcome back.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, readmeromance.com. Click on the current audiobook, enter the giveaway, and
make sure you get Pretty Virgin.
Yeah, go buy the Pretty Virgin out today. Leah, tell them what to
guys.
Do.
Fuck your day up. Make say your bitch. Don't be a dick.
Bye.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read me romance.